views and opinions expressed in this podcast by the host and or the guest do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or Paranormal Buzz Radio and or its sponsors. Use of any material produced by Paranormal Buzz Radio without express written consent is prohibited. Paranormal Buzz Radio will not be held responsible for you holding your knees, crying, and rocking in a corner in a puddle of your own urine, or being beheaded by a group of children in the cornfield. In fact, if you come across a group of children in a cornfield, we promise to make fun of you as you run away screaming in terror. Listener discretion is advised.
Listening to RAP Paranormal and Friends with your hosts
Cam Purvis
and Allison Robinson. Make sure to check us out on our Facebook pages, REP Paranormal and Friends and REP Paranormal Busters, for up-to-date show information and events.
Views and opinions expressed in this podcast by the host and or the guest do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or Paranormal Buzz Radio and or its sponsors. Use of any material produced by Paranormal Buzz Radio without express written consent is prohibited. Paranormal Buzz Radio will not be held responsible for you holding your knees, crying, and rocking in a corner in a puddle of your own urine.
So welcome, guys.
Or being beheaded by a group of children in a cornfield. In fact, if you come across a group of children in a cornfield, we promise to make fun of you as you run away screaming in terror. Listener discretion is advised.
I thought Rob Zombie was going to jump out of the screen or something.
I mean, you know, not really anything scares us, but
it's gonna be guar. We're gonna have a guar, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Hey, everyone. Welcome.
Hello. Good evening.
How's everybody doing tonight? I hope everybody that's listening is doing well. If you're not familiar with these guys, they are awesome. You guys have a lot of great content out there. I like the way you guys do your videos. Now, I was kind of reading some of your things, and which two of you were kind of like into like journalism or reporter types?
Yeah, I mean, basically you got two old broadcasters here, basically.
Yeah.
You know, kind of have the whole radio, TV, broadcast journalism background there. Darren, you know, he's the pretty one. He basically was always on the camera, whereas I was mostly behind the scenes.
Yeah, and then, we worked together, back in 1999 for the CBS affiliate in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of worked all over the country. And most recently, I've been on the radio doing news here in Seattle.
Oh, cool.
So, and Rick did radio, too, so... That's what's kind of cool about what we do is we bring our journalistic background
mm-hmm.
into when we do our investigations and putting together content. And we've had a lot of fun over the years. I can't believe it's almost been 25 years.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, how did you guys go from being broadcasters to radio and things like that to the paranormal?
Ooh. Well, I think the joy of that would probably just be the fact that it started basically Unexplained Cases before it was the YouTube product that it is right now
mm-hmm.
was actually called Unexplained, The Unexplained. It was a segment, like Darren mentioned,
mm-hmm.
at a CBS affiliate in Jackson, Mississippi. And it was where this all kind of began, where, you know, let's face it, when it comes to broadcasts, TV stations around the country, it doesn't matter where you are,
mm-hmm.
they always want to put together every Halloween, you know, little creepy stories. The little reporters go out and they do something and make some spooky effects and some interesting shots and call it a day.
Right.
And of course, you know, we'd done that several times, but Darren ended up doing a series called Ghost Hunt, which was basically about, you know, again, it was several nicely produced packages from around town. And after we were done with those, we just kind of like, you know, had a little brain tinkle of like, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if we like did this on a regular basis, if this was something that went beyond just Halloween and mm-hmm. it was also beyond just ghosts and it was something that we did on a monthly basis. And Darren, I guess that's kind of basically what got that ball rolling, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, did it for fun. I've always had an interest in paranormal things. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, TV stations kind of shy away from that. But like Rick said, around Halloween, they like a neat little story.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to do more of a, I guess you could say, in-depth. They gave us longer times to do our stories. A typical TV story is like about a minute 30. And we were doing for like 5 minutes. And, mm-hmm. you know, living in the South at that time, there's so much history with the Civil War mm-hmm. and other type of haunts that we developed a little bit of a cult following, and the reaction that we got from viewers
mm-hmm.
Impressed management, and they said, hey, why don't you guys run with this for a while?
Nice.
So we came up with, you know, some paranormal, like haunted places, some kind of mysteries, of
UFOs.
Different types. Yeah, I was going to say like the Sultana mm-hmm. And some of the, you know, the ship that sunk in the Mississippi mm-hmm. River. Mm-hmm. Obviously it was a terrible thing that happened. But and then also UFOs
mm-hmm.
that were a big thing in the 70s in Mississippi, which I didn't realize. And we did a series of stories on that and got a great reaction from our viewers. So, yeah, it just kind of blossomed from there. I ended up leaving Jackson, but still
mm-hmm.
did some reporting on paranormal stuff in Oklahoma and Seattle. Previously did some pieces in Minnesota
mm-hmm.
And also Kansas.
Nice.
So I've seen a lot of spots around the country, but you know, right. the most fun was definitely when Rick and I were doing our stories in Jackson. And yeah, we got to roll with it. After I left, Rick took it over
uh-huh.
with another reporter named Jeff Rent, and Rick, that continued for several years, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we started off also with a half hour special that was a culmination of all the, I guess, the ghost stories that Darren and I worked on, and that mm-hmm. was called Unexplained Haunts. Got a Southeast Regional Emmy for that.
Nice.
And then from there, you know, basically I, you know, Darren went on to other markets, and I had worked with another reporter, Dean McKnight, for a little bit, and then Jeff Rent after that. And we just kind of continued it. So it lasted from pretty much 2000 to 2004, which is when I actually left the station. And it was just kind of funny. For years after that, we'd still have people that would say, like, oh, I remember you when you guys did this. And, oh, what about that story? Which was just kind of funny because we kind of thought folks would have forgotten about that.
It's funny. I left, as Rick said, for a number of years, but I came back to the Jackson area in 2010, and there were people that still remembered the stories, you know, from when we did them originally for the competitor. I worked for WAPT. It was WJTV.
Uh-huh.
The only thing was, it was so funny. A lot of the, I call them kids because they're a lot younger. I've been around for a while, and one of the guys we had, you know, I was working with, who was a meteorologist, said, yeah, when I was in middle school, I remember watching you guys do your story.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, man. I go, dude, that's brutal. I'm glad you remember, but you're like 13 years old.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's called instant aging. It's just really nice right there, basically.
Exactly. But, you know, it was kind of cool back then because it was a little bit different. There was really no ghost hunters, no ghost adventures. You know, the Travel Channel was still doing actual travel pieces uh-huh. and shows,
right?
But you know, the one thing Rick and I really liked was that show Fear that was on MTV
mm-hmm.
and yes, it was kind of a paranormal show. It was like a reality TV series
uh-huh.
but I really liked the way that they did it, And so we're like, well, maybe we can do something like that, but you know, we're not gonna, you know, set things up. It's not a reality show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to go to, you know, haunted places, obviously in Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama. I know, Rick, I think you went to Tennessee, didn't you, for something?
Actually, most of our stories kind of stuck around that area, basically, that mm-hmm. we were able to travel.
Right.
But, you know, what became the interesting part, as with anything, is, you know, as Darren went on to other things, we always talked about how, wow, it would be nice to get the gang back together. Wow, mm-hmm. it would be nice to do this again, basically. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, passing thoughts. And so then about 2018 there, you know, started to be like, hey, why don't we actually, like, really do this and bring it back and do our formula, which was kind of like to have, you know, focus on the history of a location mm-hmm. and, you know, really get into the investigative and use our, whether it's reporting skills or also use how we would film things, all these different skills that we picked up and, you know, just really put together something nice. And that's where we kicked things off in 2019 and brought it back as Unexplained Cases. And we've been going since then.
Nice. Yeah, I was kind of looking through, and you guys have been to quite a few different locations that I've never even really heard of. There was, I'm not sure how to say it. Is it Mary Hope or Mare Hope or?
Mary Hope.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
I did in Meridian, Mississippi.
Okay. Never been there to investigate or anything like that. So,
that was one of our more interesting cases, because when it comes to, you know, people ask like, what was the strangest thing that you've heard mm-hmm. or you know, or experiences, basically. I mean, that's one where, well, there's two parts to that. One thing that would never happen today mm-hmm. is the fact that the owners gave us the keys and basically said, you know, we don't stay here after night. Here's the keys. You know, we'll see you in the morning kind of thing, or actually yeah. stick the keys here in the morning, whatever. I mean, that just wouldn't happen today, but you mm-hmm. know, a little more likely to happen in the South. And just the fact that it was Darren, myself, and a photographer, Rob mm-hmm. Ruffin, that were there, and it was basically a normal night until, mm-hmm. of course, we were basically took a little snooze break, kind of yeah. like downstairs, and ended up waking up to someone beating on the walls.
Oh gosh!
Well, to me, it almost sounded like, yeah, they were beating on the walls that are flipping over. There was like a dining room that was adjacent to where we were, you know, just kind of laying down napping. Mm-hmm. In I guess you could call it a living room area, to where to this day I've never heard anything like that, experienced anything like that. It was almost like something or someone mm-hmm. was in the room with us. And then, like Rick said, it was that, I don't, if you've seen the story, it's like this incredible banging, almost like steps or throwing mm-hmm. something over. And you can tell we're like, did you just hear that? Yeah. And I said something like, that's what woke me up, because I was kind of drifting in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we instantly got up, somebody playing a joke on us, you know, and there was nobody else in there. And, oh, wow. You know, like to this day, I've never had anything like that happen. It wasn't like we were scared, but it was just more intrigued about what was going on. And it mm-hmm. was, of course, at the, you know, so-called witching hour, like 3 o'clock. In the morning.
Yeah.
And then we ended up going upstairs, where we had learned earlier that there was a guy, I guess back in the 20s, the home was divided into many apartments, and there was a guy that lived upstairs. He ended up killing himself, oh, sadly.
Wow. Yeah.
And like every night, people that lived there after that said that they could hear like a door open, footsteps, and it was all almost in like that loop.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing was happening, you know, sadly, you know, every night.
Wow.
Now, was it that guy? I really don't know. But whatever it was, I mean, it wanted to know that we were there. And I don't think many people that were associated with the Mare Hope, the people that took care of it, were never there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell when we talked to some of them you know, before we did our investigation,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could tell that they thought something was there, but they really didn't know what it was. But what
right.
was interesting is we went upstairs and all of a sudden we heard like banging or footsteps or something on the roof. And this is a big, you know, old mansion. And, you know, how could somebody get up there? And it certainly wasn't like a raccoon or something mm-hmm. because it sounded like boots. And so I don't know if it was something on the roof or somebody that was banging from the inside. But yeah, there's kind of a funny piece of the video where I look like my eyeballs are going to jump out. Rick filmed. But yeah, that was, you know, I had no idea. I thought it was a beautiful place. I didn't know what we were going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that was interesting that night is we took a break and went out to just grab something to drink. So you could like hear us leaving. We locked up. We left a bunch of cameras rolling and mm-hmm. some audio recorders. So you can hear the car alarm, you know, clicking it off.
Right.
We opened the car doors. We closed the car doors. We back away. And then all of a sudden, it was like the banging started in the house.
Oh, wow.
So it was like whatever was there was like, okay, well, now they're gone. We can kind of do our thing.
But right.
We were able to catch it. So that one was pretty crazy. I mean, that was a really interesting investigation. I would say the other one that was pretty close up there, too, was the Myrtles Plantation
okay.
in St. Francisville, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, back in this time, as Rick said, nobody was really charging anything. So we asked
wow,
to do a
that's
story
nice.
there on a weeknight. And they're like, yeah, you guys just have free run of the place. You know, we'll have our caretaker there, Hester, I think it was her name. And you guys just do whatever you want.
Wow.
And I remember like 10 years later that I called. Oh, yeah, it's about $5,000.
Yeah, it's like, what?
You have to rent out the whole property is what you have to do. And it's
oh,
like,
my
hey,
gosh.
At least we got to do it, you know, when it was still
right?
cool and free. And, you know, part of the problem with the whole paranormal, I don't know if it was a genre, but just everybody doing investigations and TV shows,
mm-hmm.
it became profitable.
Yeah.
People like, well, hey, maybe I have a haunted bed and breakfast or I have this haunted property and these guys want to come film the show. That's great.
Yeah.
But we need $2,000. And it's like, not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why we don't go out of state or anything too much to do investigations because they get kind of pricey here. I mean, they're not that bad. They're not in the thousands.
No. It's just... You can tell when the TV shows have been at a certain place.
Oh, yes.
The prices go up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, oh, yeah. It's a when you think about it, it's great marketing.
Right.
I mean, think about the audience that you're reaching and that people are like, oh, I want to go stay there because
mm-hmm.
I might have the same, you know, the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I know we've gone to a couple other, we did a thing on the USS Constellation in Baltimore Harbor.
Ooh, cool.
And all we had to do was pay for like the security guy to stay with us that night. So that wasn't
too
much expensive. You know, it wasn't
right.
too pricey,
right.
which was cool. And then there's other places that, you know, that are not very well known. They're like, they want to know what's going on and they let us do it
mm-hmm.
for maybe no cost at all. And those are really the places that I like because
mm-hmm.
you're coming in, they're not really know what's going on.
Right.
And there's not, it's not that whole thing about hype, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
the thing. The place has been hyped up. So,
right.
but you know, I forgot. Yeah. We went to Baltimore. We went to Gettysburg. Yeah. We've gone.
Oh, Kim would like
yeah.
to go to
and then I did the San Carlos Hotel in Phoenix, which is pretty famous.
Yes.
So yeah, it's still exciting, you know, and there's still many places to go. It's, you know, we were doing a lot of filming, but when COVID happened,
oh,
that
yeah.
really just shut things down for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I was going to go somewhere with that. Brain fart. It's been a long week. Really long week.
At least it's Friday, right?
It happens to the best of us.
This is my Friday. Yeah, so hallelujah. I'm glad for that, but... Now, you guys were talking about, you know, you like to go in not knowing the hype. So when you go to a location, do you want them to tell you about all the experiences that they've had there? Or do you like to kind of go in and get your feel for it and then then ask them afterwards to determine if you've had some of the same experiences?
Yeah, I'd probably say that there's really not a single place that we've gone to that we haven't already researched to some degree, and have some type of an idea of what we're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
That also can kind of help determine, like, you know, what equipment's going to be needed, maybe mm-hmm. how the story is going to go. A lot of times, you know, again, since, you know, every team is different, every mm-hmm. individual is different, every content creator, every show is mm-hmm. different. So, I mean, our focus is certainly, like, you know, wanting to, like, I'm looking at it also from, since we all do video, but mm-hmm. I certainly, since I end up editing things together, mm-hmm. I'm looking at to make sure, okay, do we have enough B-roll to match the history? Have we, you know, collected all the different little creative shots and different angles? Have we mm-hmm. actually interviewed everyone? Because also that becomes a bit of a challenge, is that you may have a location,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, if your intent is to capture the history, then it's like, well, you want to be able to talk to people.
Right. Yeah. Just
to have the experience and to be able to do the investigation. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to know, okay, you know, who's the owner of the property?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been someone else who was a guest, if it was a hotel, or, you know, if a customer, if it's a shop or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And then scheduling a time to be able to interview them and put all those elements together. So, right. Yeah, I mean, most of the time, basically, we're going in pretty well aware. Now, that doesn't mean that we know everything, because
right. mm-hmm.
there certainly can be some little surprises that come up.
Yeah. That's,
well, it always helps too, because sometimes we'll interview, you know, the owners or people that work there, you know, ahead of time, just because uh-huh. we need that content for putting together our stories, because mm-hmm. usually a lot of people don't want to stick around at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we have to,
right.
you know, get them ahead of time, unless mm-hmm. somebody stays with us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, going in blind to someplace, I would say pretty rare, but like Marahope, we didn't know anything about it.
Right.
I mean, it was a, you know, it's a cool old place, but we really didn't know, you know, what haunted it or what some of the stories were.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, I went back about 11 years later, didn't have the same kind of experience,
mm-hmm.
but the one thing that was really strange is that I had a EMF meter just go crazy in that same area where we heard the banging.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was really no pipes or electricity around in that. But to me, it was like, well, that's kind of weird. Back in the same area, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was no banging footsteps or anything like that. And, of course, you know, that's the one thing. You know, I have friends or, you know, colleagues in the journalism industry, like, well, you know, there's this expectation. Oh, you go to this place, you're going to see something. You're going to hear something. You're going to capture something. You know, a spirit, you know, they're on their own time frame. If they want to be there, great. If they don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just can't expect going into one of these places and having the most amazing experience.
Exactly.
But, you know, over the years, we've had some pretty cool things happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still love to see a full body apparition. Still have never had yeah. that.
I'm still waiting to.
That.
Yes. Part of the club, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the closest that we got was a photograph, which I still found that to be quite unique and weird.
Uh-huh.
Was we affectionately named him Creek Boy,
oh,
because yeah. He was taken basically hovering above 14 Mile Creek in
oh, Raymond, wow.
Mississippi. So it's a humanoid shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that there's a head and a neck and some shoulders. But really what makes him a little bit more, well, a little interesting was when I turn it into a negative and the face clearly looks like a skull.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, okay. And so, and then at the time, because it was a Nikon digital camera, and of uh-huh. course, Kodak was the king of photography,
mm-hmm.
I reached out to both of them and said, hey, what do you think this is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what reporters and journalists do. You verify
right.
things and
mm-hmm.
get other expert opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were like, well, we just view this as an electronic artifact. And I'm like, okay, that's exactly what paranormal evidence is. So
yeah,
verifying it without realizing you verified it.
Well, yeah, and that at that time, the your picture ended up on the front cover of a local magazine, which was pretty cool.
Dang.
With, I think it said like, "Is this a ghost?" or something like that, and yeah. Somebody did an article on it. Sweet. Yeah, I mean it. You look at it, it's. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, "Whoa!" I mean, it definitely looks like a person,
uh-huh.
but certainly not a person hiding down there to play a joke on us. It looked like maybe somebody had been living in the river there for 150 years or something like that.
Gosh.
It was creepy. I mean, it was really creepy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. I have not seen a full body apparition yet. The only thing I do remember is the first time we went to Edinburgh Manor. And I walked down this hallway that I was getting spooky vibes from this bathroom. And my cousin and I went to go open the door to the staircase. And of course, you know, I was stupid. And I had my camera pointing down at the floor as I'm trying to open this door. And the door, like, I'm pulling it and it, like, pulls back. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, is somebody on this other side of the door? And then we both saw this older woman, like, her face. And she had kind of grayish white hair and she had wrinkly skin and she was staring at us through the window to that staircase. And we're just like, we took off. And then she's like, did you get down on camera? I'm like, no, I was pointing to the ground.
It seems like that's just the way you're like, wow. If there's a UFO or something, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't have my phone with me at the time. Or,
yeah.
You know, it's just, well, it's one of those things, you know, sometimes they say they want to be seen and sometimes they don't want to. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, when you get to see it, it's pretty cool, but it's like, I'm still waiting. I'm so jealous every time I hear stories or I watch a show or something that they mm-hmm. gather some type of evidence. But, yeah. You know, I guess if we did a lot more investigating, maybe mm-hmm. the odds would be better that you would. I mean, we can only, we got jobs and lives and families,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
if
right.
you went out every weekend and investigated, yeah, the odds are you might see something.
Right.
Well, and on top of that, what folks, and hopefully they realize it by now, and if mm-hmm. not, I'll let you in a little secret on these shows.
Yeah.
It's kind of like why you watch an episode and it's like, wow, that's amazing evidence. And,
uh-huh.
and especially it's a little bit, kind of a wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
If they're like, oh, we only stayed here one night. And it's like, no, you didn't. You filmed for an entire week. You
yep.
were there for multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
And they wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And hopefully, maybe they have different versions because otherwise, you know, those could get smelly. Or
they might. Inside Out Day.
Well, and then
couple times.
Scripted too, you know, that they've got a, hey, we're going to be in this room right now, you know, talk about something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as organic as you really think it is.
Correct.
You know, because they've got to figure out a way to do it all and fit it into a 30-minute or
mm-hmm.
hour-long show with commercials, so
yeah,
they gotta take the best of the best. But man, they're there shooting a ton of stuff. I think one time, like up in Arizona, like Ghost Adventures were there for like 3 days, I think, on location,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. filming an episode. And
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes we get 3 hours, so you know, the
yeah. right.
it's getting hard to get this incredible evidence in that amount of time.
Yep, exactly. I'm so glad you guys brought that up because we say that every time. We're like, people don't realize that. When you go out and investigate, you may go there and you may not get anything. And you can't mm-hmm. be disappointed and be like, oh man, well, they went here on this show and I didn't get anything. Well, they're there longer than you are. Like,
yeah,
you're not always going to get something.
Well, and that's exactly why when Darren was in Kansas, basically, he had an opportunity to work with a group there and was in the basement. What? I forget at the moment now. Do you recall what?
It was with the guys from Road Trip Paranormal. It
yes.
was, God, I'm trying to think of the name of the town. It was like an old stop for the railroad way, way back mm-hmm. when. And they had mm-hmm. Like a soda shop, kind of, you know, refurbished on the top. And then there was the basement where they said the angry janitor, you know, haunted it or something like that.
Mm.
And it was weird and creepy. And they, as a trigger object, they had like this old pair of overalls that they would hang down there. And they had a lot of experiences. And I think on the SLS camera, maybe,
that
we had captured some pretty interesting you know, interacting with whatever this thing was at the time. You know, that thing, I don't know if I would call it controversial. Sometimes it's like, hey, you know, maybe it really is, or what is it, you know, what is it really catching?
Right.
But
yeah,
that was kind of interesting. There was another part of the upstairs in that, which used to be an old doctor's office, and then they turned it into some apartments, and then it was abandoned now. And when the one of the guys from the other group was using their SLS camera, it was almost like the little figure was dancing around, which was kind of cool.
Oh,
we're
cool.
Kind of egging it on, you know, and it kept moving. And then, you know how it goes, then poof, it's gone.
Yep,
it's
gone.
And it never comes back.
Yeah, and the reason I had I mentioned that specific case specially was because there's a moment in that basement where basically everyone's being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just kind of watching and listening. And most of the time, you're going to watch an episode of anything, and you're not going to have a few minutes of just that.
Mm-hmm.
But I specifically just let that, because a lot of times Darren will write these episodes and he'll voice them.
Mm-hmm.
And I may just see like a moment, and I saw in his script, I was like, well, this is a moment to let that breathe a little bit,
mm-hmm.
let that play out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then actually put some text on the screen to say, you know, we're letting this moment just kind of stretch out, because this is what a real investigation is like.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's being quiet. Everyone's listening, you know, and this text wasn't there, but it's like, it's not sexy. It's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
riveting, but it's real, basically.
Right.
And so that's kind of why, like, some people would never put that in there, because it's like, oh, you know, you're slowing down the episode. It's boring. And it's like, well, no, it's real.
Yeah,
and so,
right.
You know, skip over it if it's boring you, but it's like, this is what this moment really is like, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always say we kind of cater to a different audience, basically. We're not going to get the folks who want to see all the running around and screaming, overreacting, because newsflash, that's not investigating, that's fake.
Yes, exactly. It is.
That's emotions. That's maybe quote unquote good TV, but that's not what you should do. I've always found that funny if someone considers themselves an investigator, but yet they're like, did you hear that? What is that? What's going on? And I'm like, well, now
did you feel that? Did you see that?
You have no idea what you saw or heard because you won't shut up.
Yeah.
It's amusing, basically, because it's like, guys, come on, you
right?
Know, just if you be quiet for just a second, you might actually know what's going on.
Right.
Well, there was a producer for a, and I won't say what show it is. It is a big show on Travel Channel that talked to Rick and I. But the way, you know, because we had done an investigation in this place, and the guy he was almost like trying to, like, hey, what did you happen? You know, would you come on and say this, or, you know, did you experience that? And it's like, well, you know, it didn't happen, you know, I'd be kind of killing my credibility, you know? And, matter of fact, when they put together this episode of this show, it was just BS. I think that they just got some guy to say that he was scared and had this great experience and all this. And then the investigators were being attacked and all this stuff. And I'm like,
my gosh,
yeah, we were on that, you know, in that area. And I'm like, I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah. We've had some that here in Iowa that we've been to, that certain show's been to, and they say all this stuff and we're like, we've been there 100 times and like, we've never experienced
anything. I'm still looking
like
for what they say was there.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. We might be 6 feet under. We might be haunting you.
Well, and then there is the other side of this too, where, you know, I don't know if you guys have you know, kind of gotten into this layer of the thought too, but it's like it does always go back to intent, right? And I mean, sometimes I would not even be remotely shocked, you know, with these folks coming in the way they are, and basically, if you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you go into a place and you're wanting to stir something up, mm-hmm. if you're wanting to basically bring bad vibes,
right?
Well, then that's something bad is going to probably happen, and right. then you know you're going to get what you asked for. But mm-hmm. if you're going to come in and you're going to be respectful,
right?
You're going to approach it like a normal professional human being that mm-hmm. has some empathy and some sympathy.
Right.
Well, then more than likely, nothing bad's going to happen, basically. Right. Or if you yep. sense that there's danger, then you're going to be like, we probably should leave right now. You know, let's not try to film this because this might be bad and you might get an attachment or something that you mm-hmm. really don't want to have going on.
Right.
But it's all about intent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I hear you there. 100%. I know some people aren't like that, but that is just my philosophy. We go in with respect to these places and compassion because they were humans too. And there's some other people that just don't do that. They just demand things and like they're, you know, puppets or something to that effect. And that's not how it works.
Lots of screaming, demon, show yourself.
Yeah, let me show you my back tattoo.
Is that all you can do? You can do better than that. You know, that's a lot of the shows. And mm-hmm. Man, I don't know if I'd want to do that because you don't know what, like Rick said, is going to attach to you, or
right.
you get some bad energy, or
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
is and it's just like you said, these were people at one time, and they probably don't want to be screamed at, you know,
no.
You know, that's, you know, I wouldn't,
right? Yeah, right? I wouldn't either. That'd make me angry.
mm-hmm.
Right, exactly, and you never know. Then they might throw something at you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So be respectful, people. Be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, besides doing paranormal things, you guys also talk about other stories, unusual mystery things and cryptids and all that kind of stuff and UFOs. Have you mm-hmm. guys ever had an actual experience with like a UFO or like Sasquatch or anything like that?
You know, that would be lovely.
That would be amazing. Quite, you know, I'm up in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle is my hometown, so I'm back home, and
uh-huh.
obviously up in the Olympic Mountains. And matter of fact, they filmed one of those shows up there, Finding Bigfoot. I think that was the name
yeah.
of it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I think so. Yeah,
I would love to go squatching. Have not done that. The only interesting thing that one time I saw was driving back from El Paso, Texas, in the desert, in the middle of the night, trying to get back to Roswell, New Mexico. So I was around Alamogordo, White Sands, and it was my wife and I, and we saw these two lights off to both sides of the cars. Nobody else out, you know, typical, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. it's like a UFO story. The only thing that was weird was they ended up kind of coming together sort of on top of each other,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, because of the military aspect of having an Air Force base there, were they doing some type of a maneuver or something like that? I don't know, but that one was really weird to where we kind of said, what did we just see? And then they kind of took off in their own direction.
Oh, wow.
You know, I lived in Phoenix for a while, and uh-huh. I met a lot of people that saw the Phoenix lights. And one of the individuals that actually captured it on video, and these are, you know, normal people, you know, they're not crazy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was thousands, if not tens of thousands of people that saw that in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it would have been cool to you know, be a part of something like that. But yeah, that's my really only experience, you know, with UFOs. I've met mm-hmm. a lot of people over the years, though, that have had sightings or abductions
right?
and things
yeah.
like that. It is fascinating, but mm-hmm. you know, that and squatching, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah, those are my top two. Yes, I want to do both. I want to go squatching, and I want to spend like a week being able to like search for UFOs. I'd love it.
Oh yeah, there's that place in I think it's Vancouver, Washington, that they have that that ranch down there. I mean, this is not Skinwalker Ranch or anything like that.
Oh yeah,
that,
yeah.
That I've got a friend of mine that went down there years ago, and they have uh-huh. the night vision, you know, that they give people and things
yeah.
like that. And she was pretty much a non-believer. And, you know, what she saw was like, whoa, it was just kind of, you know, pretty amazing. That is on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get down there. That's only about 3 hours from where I am.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So it would be, you know, cool to see that. Gillian's Ranch, I think is what it's called.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've heard of them.
George Norrie from Coast to Coast. I think he's been there several times too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, that would be awesome.
It's Trout Lake, Washington. That's where it is. I was trying to look it up real quick. Uh-huh. But they have I think you can get cabins and things like that. I don't know why, if there's some kind of a portal or the heck is going on there, but that's on my list. I'm going to try to go down there and, experience it for myself.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Rick, have you had any experiences or not? Just wishful thinking.
That's the thing is as far as have I seen anything, haven't had the opportunity to go squatching, although that's something I'm attempting to line up basically because there's a gentleman in North Carolina who I'm hoping at some point, he's going to be, whether it's down there or closer to this area, somewhere in Virginia or something like that, just to be able to have an opportunity, because it's like I tell folks, basically, it's like, we would be more closer aligned in my vision. Unexplained cases would be closer to unsolved mysteries, basically. Mm-hmm. But, most of our cases end up being hauntings because you can't throw a rock without hitting a ghost story or even an urban legend that actually relates to it. But, talking about UFOs, one of the things that I'm, quite proud that we were able to get was to have a full interview with Charles Hickson, who's part of the Pascagoula abduction in Pascagoula, Mississippi. So he and Calvin Parker. We didn't get a chance to actually interview Calvin, but and talking to Charles, basically, just, again, that goes back to preserving history because, have this full interview with him, and of course he's passed away, and it's just nice to have that on record, basically, of he experienced, and a lot of times, even when we what Darren and I basically thought that our phones were being tapped by the Pentagon because we started checking out the Camp Van Dorn mystery, which I guess short story on that was that there's an allegation back in World War II that a bunch of African-American soldiers were killed by the Army. And
obviously they covered up,
and it was a cover up basically. So you had this huge amount. And to me, it's kind of one of those classic scenarios of where, I think the number was well over 1,000. I don't know, 1,200 or what the exact number was.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there basically thinking, okay, I can't even process that happening on even that's too horrific on a regular. Yeah,
wouldn't you think there's 1,200 families who would be trying to figure out what happened to their loved one?
Right. But now was it maybe 10 or something like that, which I mean, again, that doesn't excuse it with the number.
Right.
But something like that starts to feel a little bit more realistic, especially with stories. But, as you investigate something like that, and I mean, that's a sensitive subject on a variety of ways. First off, you're basically claiming that the Army did something.
Right.
Rick,
you probably agree. Something probably did happen.
Yeah.
But it's one of those stories that took a, life of its own, that, it became, maybe it was 2, became 5, became people with machine guns killing these guys. And then, there was a book that was written about it. That's really how we found out about it. Supposedly they were buried in an earthen dam, or they were taken to nowhere in boxcars packed with ice. I mean, we got all these different stories. There's probably a shred of truth in something that happened there, but I've always thought that's a lot of people. I mean, that would be maybe the worst thing of all time in our country. And I, the Army and military, they cover up a lot of stuff, as we all know, but I mean, that would be a lot of people that would have to be involved in that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'd have to have law enforcement and townspeople and, civilians. And, this is a small town. Was it Centerville? Is that where it was, Rick?
Yeah, Centerville, Mississippi.
Centerville, Mississippi, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just the fact that it's like here we are, or here you are, basically, getting a chance to talk to lieutenant colonels and having these different interviews with these folks who are willing to talk about this subject. And, you know, I'm sure this was kind of like something they're like, okay, the only reason we're doing this is because of this book. And so now we've got these reporters and, you know, we've done an exhaustive investigation. But, you know, part of my reason for bringing it up is because we had several people who came out of the woodwork who were basically like a couple of them were very up in, well, actually they were all up in age, but some more than others. They've obviously passed away by now, but just to, again, to have their story. And you know, someone could say, oh, they're just making it up. And it's like, well, I mean, one person I had to conceal his identity, conceal his voice. We called him Mr. X because he basically was an MP and he had an experience of what he, you know, was involved with or what he saw. You know, or it was another gal who was more of a civilian, or then it was actually another one who he actually was on the base and he had to change records. Wow. And so that's when you start saying, like, again, was it something egregiously huge? Probably not. It became a fish story. But was it something that really should have never happened involving a small amount of people? It certainly felt very plausible that was the case.
Excuse me, sorry, that was brewing for a while. It never has.
We almost made it.
I know, it never fails. I either get the hiccups or I have to sneeze during an episode. Never fails, never.
Always like that.
That's a pretty regular occurrence now.
I mean, every Thursday.
Some people that happens when they eat a pepper, basically. So apparently, Darren and I are just chilies. We're just the chili brothers. It's okay. It's
We have that effect on many people.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, all right, let's see. Kim's saying she needs to learn shorthand, because there's quite a few questions in chat. Obviously, we're not going to be able to get to all of them, but I'm going to get through some of them.
Chat questions are the best.
Yes. So, let's see here. First one is, what does the paranormal mean to you personally?
Ooh, well, Darren, you go first.
Well, obviously things that are not normal, that are around us all the time, you know. Well, we're called unexplained cases. So things to do with hauntings, spirits, could be abductions, cryptology, maybe. You know, for me, you know, that's what it's always meant. I know there's many definitions for different people, but that's what I've always thought, you know, when we go out and do these stories, it's just those are, and there's probably other things I'm missing, but Rick, I don't know, do you probably agree with some of that, or you might think it's all crap what I'm saying, but that's all right.
Well, most of what you say is all crap. No, just kidding.
Well, we all know that. There's nothing paranormal about that. That's quite normal.
I know, right? Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, to me, the word paranormal has a stigma. And that's actually part of the reason why we recently did what turned into a 3-hour film called Faith in the Paranormal, because especially in religious sects, basically, if you know, you talk about the paranormal, well, okay, that's a cult, that's dark, that's you know, demonic, that's just, it's bad stuff. And it's like, well, no, first off, the definition of paranormal is beyond normal, like Aaron said. So you know, are there certainly darker sides of that? Well, of course, because with anything, basically, you know, with political realms, you have far left and far right. I mean, it's all extreme on a lot of things, but I certainly would agree in the sense that, you know, for me, beyond the basic definition of it, that's why I'm always looking for mysteries, basically, because life is full of so many mysteries that I think that's what kind of makes it very entertaining. And if there's a chance to solve one, then even better. But if at least there's a chance to document it, then, you know, I consider that a win.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we actually had somebody on our show one time that literally basically called us, like,
we were dealing with the devil, basically, being paranormal investigators. So, you know.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
I usually try to stay away from that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's wrap this up.
and being, you know, and again, you know, especially in my case, I'm born and raised in the South. So, I mean, whereas I think it's rich in stories, I mean, mm-hmm. it is technically the Bible Belt. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there is this sense of like, well, you shouldn't do that because, you know, of what can happen. And I guess having done this so long, I think I would basically kind of like look at it as like, listen, again, it goes back to the intent. If mm-hmm. you're going out and you're looking for trouble, I really wouldn't advocate doing that. It's kind of the idea of like, you know, people want to go into cemeteries and go into abandoned places. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, mm-hmm. listen, yeah, that's cool and it's interesting, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the people that can also hang out in especially abandoned places, you know, folks mm-hmm. using drugs or, right. you know, mm-hmm. someone who's homeless or whatever. So let's flip that. What type of spirits do you think going to hang out there? I mean, yeah, you could say, oh, it was someone who used to live there and they just like to hang around their spot. But, oh, mm-hmm. let's take that for just a second. Would you think a nice little empty spot like that might be a case where someone's just passing through and they're perfectly fine? Or if people go there and tear it up uh-huh. and demolish it and act a fool,
uh-huh.
then wouldn't you have more negative type of things that might say, hey, mm-hmm. I want to hang out and I'm going to mess with you because you're showing up here.
Right.
So
yeah.
again, it goes back to the intent of what you're doing and, mm-hmm. and what you're, how much protection that you have. And if you're trying to solve a mystery or mm-hmm. if you're trying to help someone out, somebody
right.
has a problem, something's happening. They're like, hey, can someone come over here and check this out for us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's where I don't see anything that's wrong with that because you're basically providing a service in that point because you're trying to help someone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to documenting history and documenting the situation.
Right. Correct. I agree. I agree with you. All right. Let's see here. Oh my goodness. What's the next question here? They're on a roll tonight. Let's see. Have you had a location scare you enough to where you won't go back?
Hey, you know, again, we go back to those overreacting moments, basically. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I can honestly say nothing has ever scared me that much
mm-hmm.
Because being a person of faith, I'm basically walking into a situation and I'm like, there's nothing here that's going to bother me. There's nothing here that's going to touch me.
Right.
And frankly, if it's something that is demonic or problem, mm-hmm. then I'm going to be like, okay, so this is nice. Deuces. We probably need to get out.
If yeah.
If that's what I feel, you know, Holy Spirit's basically telling me kind of thing.
Right.
So nothing's ever scared me that much. Have I been startled?
Mm-hmm.
Has something been like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. like, especially thinking about when we were at the Mineral Springs Hotel and it looked like Darren had somebody pass through him.
Oh, wow.
you remember
yeah,
that?
That was weird. That was in the pool where mm-hmm. they say like, one or two kids or somebody
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
I forgot about, you know, we've been to so many places. I got to catalog these because I keep forgetting about. Yeah, that was weird that we were down there. What was it like? I can't remember if we were doing an EVP session or we were using our, I think, K2 meters, I
yeah,
think.
K2, yeah, K2.
And it was like, I kind of felt like somebody pushed me or walked through me, or it was enough to make me tell Rick, like, what? You know, it was just like, because a lot of times I'm like, well, you know, I watch the shows. I'm like, oh, I think something touched me or something. You know, I'm like, maybe. But yeah, that was something weird happened there. That was unexplained, if you will.
Indeed.
That was strange. I forgot. We went to several places in Illinois, like the McPike Mansion.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I can't even remember half of these places now. Well, I'm over 50, so this is what probably happened.
Yeah, well, that happens, but now something, you know, we may have to save for another show, but, you know, you were in a coma for a little bit, basically. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did see
so,
that, yes.
I've had so many people, you know, ask me, did you have a near-death experience? I go, man, I remember going under on December 18th and waking up on January 6th. I don't really remember anything in between. I don't. You know, by the grace of God, you know, my my time on Earth wasn't, you know, wasn't up. So that's why I'm so glad to be back. I'm looking forward to finally doing some stuff with Rick and Mike again once I can get, you know, get back going again.
Right.
Yeah. Like I was saying, you know, this is the first time to be on y'all's show, and we appreciate that. But then this is also the first time Darren and I have been on a show together this year.
Awesome.
So, you know, so it's kind of a twofer, basically.
Yeah. That's awesome.
If you will.
Yes. Yes. I feel like a dipped ice cream cone. It's fine.
So. As long as it wasn't a dip of Copenhagen.
These gals didn't know what they were getting into.
Cannon. He just he's letting it all out. He probably got dinged in his head when he was in that coma process.
Gave him some special gas while he was on the sun.
No, we like this.
Quick about that though. It was so weird. Once I came to, I thought I was in Canada. For several days, I was like, "Why do you have me in the hospital in Canada? I do not understand. I want to go back to the U.S. And they kept telling me, like, "You are home. You are in Seattle." I go, "No. I look out the window. I can see Vancouver." And then finally, whatever came out of my stupor. But that was weird. is there some kind of a connection to that paranormal? I don't know. Strange.
That is a little bizarre.
What's that all about?
I don't know. I said, "Can I get a beer, That was the first thing I said. And so, like, "No, you cannot get a beer."
It explains everything. Dad jokes all around for everybody. Come on, it's fine.
Yeah. Tip your waitress. Try the veal.
Everything's fine.
Oh my gosh, I love it. No, this is the kind of stuff we like. We like to have fun on our show, and there are times where, we let everything out, and so it's nice to have guests that are like that too, that aren't always so, you know.
Awesome. Everybody can stay around for the after show. That's when things get really crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the non-rated version.
Hey, this is explicit anyway, so you know. But anyway.
Oh, well, in that case, Karen and I, we've been holding back.
Yeah.
I've got my PG filter on.
All right, let's see here. I think we have time for another question here.
All right,
heard it. Let's see here. What is the most common piece of equipment you use?
Ooh, nice question.
Maybe our senses. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of filming. I do dig the SLS thing. That thing is kind of, we've had interesting things happen in Philadelphia that somebody was having a drink with me and the other investigator we were with in this bar. Mm-hmm. Also caught it on one of the locations that Ghost Adventures went into Scottsdale, Arizona, to where the figure looked like it was laying on the couch, just kind of chilling there. Mm-hmm. That was pretty wild.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, Rick, what do you think? We've got a whole bag of goodies that we use.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head there, because, I mean, I've been asked, I don't know how many different times, when people will be like, "Oh, you know, what equipment should I use?" And I'm like, listen, first off, you start with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you are your best piece of equipment, because you're going to know if you, like for me, I can look at a place and I'm like, yeah, that's haunted.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, even, sometimes it can even be a little bit more specific where I'm like, okay, would you stop staring at me out the window? Okay. You know, back off, bro or broette. But you know, someone say, "Oh, you're intuitive." And it's like, well, again, we all have intuition. So, you know, we each lean into it a little bit more than the next person, but, you know, you're going to be able to sense, okay, is there a temperature change? You know, am I feeling like weird little spider webs and there's no spider webs around?
Why is something walking through me?
Right. You know, hair standing up for no good reason, you know, and I'm saying, like, it's one thing if someone says something and you're kind of like, ooh, that's kind of creepy, and your hairs stand up. To me, it's totally different when for no reason every single stinking hair on your body is standing up. And I just say that that's the full body chills. And I'm like, okay, that's hello. You know, who's standing next to me? And would you buy me a drink before you get that close?
That's right. If you're going to take me home, you got to give me a little something here for the effort, you know?
That's right.
You know, but then beyond that, you know, we'll always tell people, it's like, hey, you got a phone? Well, all right, you got an audio recorder. You know, I mean, every one of them have some voice recorder or whatever. And I mean, that's a very basic way that, yeah, sure, is it better to have one that's a specific recorder? Yeah, but you already have that. You also already have a camera on that. You also already have a video camera. And and I've experienced multiple times where my iPhone has picked up disembodied voices. And there's even a thing now that's, I'm not really sure why there would be a difference between the iPhone and the Android, but there is some type of indication that the iPhone can pick up disembodied voices better. And I'm like, well, okay, I would have to look into that more to know if that's really a thing.
Because
to me, it's just the idea that you have a device, and frankly, if you listen to stuff that you've recorded with good headphones, noise counseling preferably, turn it up real good and listen to it. Yeah, if you're hearing something, you're like, hey, nobody was around. That was just me, and nobody said anything like that. Well, all right, it's not 100% necessarily validated, but it's pretty darn close. That's like, well, that was weird, you know?
Right.
We'll have to test it. You got an iPhone, I got an Android.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to have to test it at our next investigation.
Who's getting
the... Yeah, my BlackBerry doesn't work very well.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, you just dated yourself there. But
yes, I know, exactly.
At least I know that it's not real.
Yeah, I'm bringing out some goodies tonight.
I'd have to fire you. You're off the team.
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen one of those like forever.
Right?
BlackBerry? Yeah.
Nope. You might as well go get a Tandy computer while we're at it.
Oh gosh.
See? Come on.
Yeah. Oh wow. A little Radio Shack, man. We're going way back. His Radio Shack was the store that had all these cool electronics in it.
Yep. See.
Oh,
yes.
In case
folks don't know what a Radio Shack is.
Yeah. I know what a Radio Shack is. Good. I think that's where we got one of our first recorders.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We did.
Then they closed their doors, so we started buying from Best Buy.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
That's how it is. All right, guys. Before we start wrapping things up, where can people find you and your content so they can kind of check up on your stories, see what you guys are up to, maybe just harass you a little bit, whatever floats their boat?
We appreciate good harassment. Well, the YouTube channel is where all the content is at. So that's, youtube.com/unexplainedcases. Basically, Unexplained Cases will get you to all our stuff. So we're on Instagram. We're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. The only place that Unexplained Cases, plural, will not get you anywhere is Twitter, because unfortunately that's too many characters, and therefore we are Unexplained Case.
Yes.
A singular case.
I think I found
on
you on there.
Twitter.
We do one case at a time.
We're so old, that's all we can handle, because it takes so long to get there, seem to get back.
It's a process, if you will.
Yes. Come on, Shetty. Let me tell you about a ghost.
Oh my gosh, you guys are a hoot. I can't remember if you guys have done the round table before. This is like off, but I was thinking about this with Nick from Beyond Paranormal, right? You guys have done that video
the round? No, actually we haven't.
You haven't?
No, I don't think so.
Gosh, I swore. Maybe it wasn't you guys, because we've done it with him, and I was like, man, you guys sound really familiar. Like, maybe we've been on one of those things, but...
We'd love to do it, though. We're available.
Yeah. Yeah, unless, of course, we're forgetting something, because brain cramps are possible. But I know Nick pandemic and shows, basically, because we, especially during COVID, we were like talking and working with a redonkulous amount of folks there, basically. So, of course, that was good times. You know, it was nice to be able to make connections.
Right, yeah.
You know, some people were like, oh, you're still doing the live show. And it's like, no. I mean, we really wanted to get back to focusing on the episodics. So,
right.
We kind of wrapped that up. And we just occasionally go live on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I will have to keep my eye out for that if you guys do. So, but please, I want to thank everybody who was in chat tonight. Thank you for everybody who was not in chat but listening. We appreciate each and every one of you, and would like to thank our guests, Rick and Darren, for being on tonight from Unexplained Cases. Make sure you guys go check them out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. Just type them in. I'm sure you will find them anywhere. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Y'all are fabulous, too.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're doing great.